We're celebrating the joyful solemnity of the birthday of John the Baptist, the greatest man ever born. Jesus himself said that, so I'm not exaggerating. Jesus said he's the greatest man ever born, right? Man, greatest born ever, or born of woman. But the least born into the kingdom of God is greater than he. So John the Baptist, it's also Manila Day. So city of Manila has a holiday, and anyone who works in Manila or goes to school in Manila has the day off. The rest of us know. The rest are just a normal, ordinary back to work day. I was a little bit distracted. I was wondering why Manila Day is on the solemnity of the birth of John the Baptist. I thought maybe it was chosen in honor of John the Baptist, so I looked it up quickly. Before the Mass, I guess not. It has something to do with the Spanish something, 1571. I mean, I don't know what was here in 1571, but there weren't many Spanish here, that's for sure. So pretty bold of them to declare it's a city. I don't know what kind of formal declaration they made that it was a city on June 24, 1571. It happens to be the solemnity of the birth of John the Baptist, and so there's a connection. So all that business about people throwing water on you if you go to Manila, that's not an ancient tradition, apparently. Huh?
San Juan.
In San Juan, not in Manila. Okay, anyway. Anyway, that's not an ancient tradition. It's not even mentioned in Wikipedia, so that's all I know. And I don't know why the Spanish tended to name cities after saints. So Manila is not a saint. So I don't know how that happened. And maybe there's a story behind it. But I'll tell you what really distracted me as I looked this up. I learned that the most populated city in the world by density, population density, is Manila, number one. I didn't know that. This is just city proper. Now, city of Manila is the most highest density, population density in the world. So I said, that's really amazing. I would have thought it was, I don't know what, Tokyo or someplace. Second one, Mandaluyong. This is world, and the world. This is not just in the Philippines, the world. Third one, Caloocan. Is it the top three most densely populated cities in the whole world are in the Philippines? Makati's down at number eight, so four of the top 10 are in the Philippines. This really caught me. Pasig, number 15. Malabon, number 20. Pasay, 21. San Juan, Batangas, number 25. Nabotas, 26. Marikina, 38. Las Piñas, number 45. We live in the 45th most densely populated city in the whole world. So of the top 50 most densely populated, 11, not just in the Philippines, but in Metro Manila. That's really amazing to me. Quezon City is way down at 52. Quezon City has almost 3 million people, but it's bigger, so they're spread out more than here in Las Piñas. And anybody who's tried to cross Alabang Sapote Road knows there's a lot of people here. The other day I was trying to get across, and there are so many people, so many motorcycles, cars, tricycles, e-tricycles, solar-powered, I don't know what those are, minibuses and buses and who knows what, and many, many people. So now what does that have to do with John the Baptist? Now, come on. Nothing except for this. Every one of those 3 million people in Quezon City, or those 600,000 people in Las Piñas City, or those 2 million people in the city of Manila, every single one of them was chosen by God in the womb. Before he or she was conceived, God knew that person and wanted that person to come into being and to be living here in Metro Manila. It changes your perspective if you're waiting to cross Alabang Sapote Road and you see 400,000 people blocking the traffic and you say, well, there's just too many people. Not in God's mind. They're not too many people. Maybe there's too many people in one place. Yes, that can happen. It could be too densely populated fit in a way that's fitting for human dignity. But there's not too many people because every single one of them is chosen by God and loved by God, profoundly loved by God. So if you ever see a crowd of people, try thinking about that. That God loves each one of these people, each and every one of them, more than we can imagine. Another distraction, the big pride march on Saturday was one of the biggest, I guess it was the record, biggest ever, 200,000 people in Quezon City. Now, I don't know if they're all LGBT or anything like that. Probably most of them are trying to sell vendors. Probably vendors are selling, you know, rainbow t-shirts or something. But anyway, that's a lot of people, 200,000 people. And I said, well, you know, yeah, it's a lot of people. Here for our humble meal, we had 8 people. And now that has more spiritual power than a parade with balloons and rainbows. One person of a holy hour in front of the Blessed Sacrament has more impact on the world than 200,000 people walking in the streets. So, but those 200,000 people, each one of them is loved and personally known and chosen by God. Yes, that's something to celebrate. It's not something to celebrate someone's sexual orientation. And that just is, and that's just the way people are. It's not something to be announced. I mean, if a man were to walk around saying, I'm attracted to women, you know, holding a big flag, I'm attracted to women, you would say, oh, what? That guy's a creep. There's something wrong with him. You don't just go announcing your sexual attractions. Or if a woman were to hold a big flag, I'm attracted to men, I'm sexually attracted to men, that woman is asking for trouble. There's something wrong here. But when the gays do it, they say, oh, this is something to celebrate. No, that's something that's very personal. That's not to be announced. If you want to celebrate something, celebrate that God chose you to come into being. That God knew you before you were conceived. He knew you before you were born. He knew you in the womb. And you are, how does the psalm say it? You are wonderfully made. That is something to celebrate. And not just for 200,000 people in Quezon City, but for every single person on the planet. How many people are there now? 7 billion or something like that? 8 billion, whatever it is. Every single one of them, and there's not too many, is wonderfully made. And that's what God thinks of them. So that's what we should think about people. And that's why we celebrate birthdays. So it's maybe a little distracting to think Las Piñas is the 45th most densely populated city in the world. But on the other hand, what a blessing. What a blessing every person is. Okay, now that is a fitting meditation for today, because today is a birthday. It's a birthday of someone who is declared to be wonderfully made, known from the womb, formed in his inmost being, knit in his mother's womb, fearfully, wonderfully made. Wonderful are all your works, Lord. Okay, so that's everybody. Now let's focus down here on John the Baptist, who is, yes, he's also fearfully, wonderfully made in his mother's womb, but he has a special place. And that's why his birthday is inserted into the liturgical year. Our birthdays are not, and the birthday of 8 billion people and not on the liturgical calendar. Maybe it should be. Maybe we should have some kind of a pro-life day or a human dignity day or something like that. I don't know, but we don't. We do have the birthday of Jesus, Christmas Day. We do have the birthday of the Blessed Virgin Mary in September, and we have this solemnity, birthday of John the Baptist, because these three obviously stand out, and Jesus and Mary, that doesn't take explanation to anyone who has faith. But John the Baptist also, he really stands out as someone with a chosen mission from the womb and who was sanctified in the womb. Jesus, of course, is sinless because he's God. Mary's sinless because she's immaculately conceived. John is, according to the tradition, sanctified in the womb. He wasn't immaculately conceived. But in the womb, he was filled with the Holy Spirit when Mary visited Elizabeth. You know the story. And that's where this feast day takes some of its roots, that John leapt for joy at the coming of the Lord and began his mission to point out the Lord even while still in the womb. That's how great John is. In today's gospel, we celebrate not just the birth, which is very briefly described, but the naming of John. And also the reaction of the people that this child is born at all. But there's something special going on here. First of all, his parents are old and childless. They're in a helpless condition. They don't have any children and they can't have any. Well, then Elizabeth is pregnant. It's pregnant. Something wonderful about that. Maybe in modern times they would say it's not wonderful, but it's wonderful. Pregnancy is wonderful. New life is wonderful. And when he's born and everyone sees, hey, this old lady has a son. They say, well, this is really something. It says here, they rejoiced with her. And that's what we're doing. We're rejoicing with Elizabeth and with the church. And then the mysterious realization that this child already has a name. He wasn't named on the eighth day. He was named before he was even conceived. That's what Zechariah was told that, right? Your wife is going to have a child and you're going to name him John. God knew this child's name before he was even conceived. That's true of all of us, by the way. But our name isn't usually announced to our fathers about our mothers. But it's true. God knows our names. Okay. So let's point out two aspects of John and then see how they also apply to us, especially to John, but also to us. First of all, I stressed this already, known, chosen, loved by God from before conception. That's true of all of us. But remember, John's, and so any one of us can stand up and say, praise the Lord, he loves me, I'm his beloved son or daughter. You can march in the streets, and that will be a legitimate reason. Certainly John can. I mean, John was obviously a great holy man. But notice, this is the other point to reflect on this feast day. The mission of John is not to march in the streets and proclaim how great he is or how much he's loved. It's true, but his mission is to point to the one who is to come. And by comparison, as great as John is, by comparison to the one who is to come, he's nobody. He's nobody. And John insists on this at every turn. Don't focus on me, focus on the one who is to come. He must increase, I must decrease. I was thinking, well, at one point earlier last week, I was assigned to do the 6:30 Mass last night in the parish. And when I discovered it was going to be the vigil mass of John the Baptist, I already had wheels going in my mind about John the Baptist. Then the parish shifted the schedule and I got moved to the 5 o'clock Mass, and it turned out to be the Sunday, and the gospel yesterday was about Jesus calming the storm, right? And Jesus in the boat with the disciples and calming the storm. So I was thinking, wow, there's a lot of storms in the life, in the story of John the Baptist that well, some of them are calm in this world and some are not. In the case of Zechariah and Elizabeth, their whole life was like a storm. I mean, the experience of childlessness is a terrible experience of a storm. And Zechariah was really discouraged by it. But that storm was calmed and they had a child. When it comes to John the Baptist, now moving from the beginning of his life that we're celebrating today to the end of his life, he had to weather a terrible storm, persecution, imprisonment, and finally being beheaded in the prison. You say, well, why didn't God calm that storm? He did. By enabling John to persevere in faithfulness to the end and to rise in glory, in victory over Herod and all the disorders of this world. So John experiences passing through storms and coming out the other side glorious. Okay, I just want to emphasize this business about John being fully at the service of Jesus. John's life, as great as it is, being fully directed toward Jesus, because this is true of us also. We don't march in the streets and talk about how great we are, but we do march in the streets and announce how great Jesus is. If you ever been to a procession for Christ the King or a procession of Corpus Christi, or a procession for the Sacred Heart of Jesus. We march through the streets and proclaim, this is the one. Jesus is the one. He must increase, we must decrease. My life, this great gift of being known and loved by God from before I was even born, comes to its fullest dignity when it's pointing toward Jesus Christ. That's our mission. It's John's mission in a unique way, but it's the mission of every one of us, to point to Jesus Christ. And when we do it, then we come to the fullness of our own identity, the fulfillment of our own mission. Okay, so identity from God, loved by God, chosen, our name is known by God, and mission. Mission is we are sent to put ourselves at the service of Jesus Christ and the building of his kingdom. He's the one we point to. He's the one we proclaim.